أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا بالقاسم المصطفى محمد على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَأَحْلُلْ أُخْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِ يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِ My brothers and sisters, it is a great honor to be here and be in this gathering. Allah has granted me tawfiq to be able to commemorate the birthday of our Holy Prophet. I'm honored to be here with you. Now, inshallah, my speech will be ending exactly at 4:15, so I'll just share a few words that I feel are relevant for us to hear at this occasion. I want to ask three questions and provide some answers. And inshallah, in doing that, then we'd get a practical message out of what we're supposed to do for the birthday of the Holy Prophet. The first question is this: why is it that the enemies of Islam so vehemently protect those who insult the Holy Prophet? Why is that one of their red lines? To protect those who insult the Prophet. Even if it means, and we remember when these cartoons came out in the beginning, that they were willing to shut down embassies, but not to shut down the cartoons. Why is it that that's one of the red lines? One question. The other question is this: why is it that they also support and provide media coverage for the takfiris? We all know how the media runs. We know that if there's a voice that they don't want to hear, if there is a protest, let's say it's a million people protesting, let's say it's here in London, let's say the people don't want, for instance, the Iraq war to take place, or any other event, we see how the media coverage is for that, but why is it that this would be very much covered by the media? Why is it that these individuals would receive orders to say Allahu Akbar when they slaughter the innocent? What's going on here for these two questions? When we know, obviously, the teachings of Islam are not this. Let me mention what I mean. When it comes to non-Muslims, the teachings of the Holy Prophet, the teachings of the Quran, when it comes to our neighbors and our associates, the Quran is very clear about what it says. What does the Quran say? لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ Allah has not forbidden you from those who do not fight you in religion. وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ And these people don't drive you out from your homes. What happens to those kind of non-Muslims? What does God say? أَنْتَبُرُّوا وَتُقْسِتُوا إِلَيْهِمْ God tells you to be kind to these people? To be just towards these people, God says that. So when it comes to this, and that God loves, the verse continues, that God loves those who are just. God tells us to be just towards them. Why is it that the takfiris, they would slaughter the innocent, say Allahu Akbar when they're doing and receive media coverage, when this is the opposite of the Quran? Of course, when it comes to the enemies of Islam, these same individuals, the takfiris, who by the way, if we look at the numbers, we'll see that our Sunni brothers and sisters have suffered more from the takfiris even than the Shias by numbers. So these people are definitely not to say this is a Sunni problem. No. Why is it that these people are like this? When it comes to the enemies of Islam, then Islam tells us very clearly that you are ruhama bainahum when it comes to the people who are righteous, and then you are enemies, ashidda ala kuffar, when it comes to those people who are fighting Islam. Why is it these people wouldn't fire even a bullet at Israel, but they're ready to slaughter everybody? Why would they receive that kind of coverage? So, why these two things? The first question, the support of those who are satirizing the Prophet, mocking the Prophet, or at the same time destroying the image of the Prophet by slaughtering the image, why they're given coverage? The reason is very simple. Why is it you destroy the image of the Prophet? This isn't a new thing, brothers and sisters. It's not new to mock a prophet in Islam. Not even did this start with our own prophet. When we look in the verses of the Quran, It says, وَلَقَدْ اسْتُهْزِيَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. Prophets before our prophet were mocked. God consoles our prophet, telling him this is their way, to mock prophets. Now, the question is why, though? Why is it that they feel this need to mock the prophet or to create groups who do more damage to the name of the prophet by slaughtering the image? Why support them? Why help them? There's something which is a common belief amongst all Muslims. This isn't a Shia-Sunni issue. All Muslims believe the world has a bright future. All Muslims believe that God's religion will eventually prevail over the earth. God's kingdom will be established on the earth. All Muslims believe in the Mahdi. There are some 5 points that I want to mention which are common to all Muslims when it comes to the Mahdi. So, they all believe that he will come in the last day, that he will establish the kingdom of God. They all believe he's from the progeny of the Holy Prophet. They all believe that he's from the progeny of the Lady Fatima. They all believe that he's different from Jesus, he's not the same as Jesus. No, they believe Jesus will actually pray behind him. This is a common belief. So what does that mean? What this means is that you Muslims believe that in good days for mankind, in the liberation of mankind, right? The verses of the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَاتِ رَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينَ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. We're all expecting these good times that people will be entering into the religion in throngs. So that's going to happen. How do you stop that? By mocking this religion, by destroying the first and most important character of this religion. That's how you slow the growth. Now, so that's the answer to the first part. The second part is, what is our responsibilities as Muslims? So they want to mock the prophet, make fun of him, or create these groups to stop the spread of Islam, to delay the liberation of mankind? Because this isn't even an issue of just us Muslims. Who doesn't know about the 1% and the 99%? Who doesn't know about modern slavery? Who doesn't know about how corporations are dominating the world, right? Liberation of mankind from modern slavery. That's what Islam is offering the world. So how can they slow that down? By mocking the prophet. Next question, and the last question is this. How can we as Muslims reverse this process, hasten the coming of the Imam and that kingdom of God being established on the earth? As we were told by the other speakers, we have to take the prophet as an excellent example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. The prophet is an excellent example for us. Now, when we say take the prophet as an example, we don't only mean to quote a hadith about the prophet and tweet those ahadith to others. Rather, we have something which is a bit more challenging on us. Our challenge is to embody the teachings of the prophet. When he's uswatun hasana, our challenge is to put these beliefs in our practice. There's something, they've done statistics. When it comes to Islamophobia and people who hate Islam and people who will swear at Islam and these things, they've done statistics. What do the statistics show them? Those individuals who know a Muslim, who've interacted with a Muslim, who've actually read the Quran, those individuals have a completely different take on this wonderful religion than those who have not been exposed to Muslims at all. It would be a mistake for me as a Muslim to be intimidated by them mocking the prophet or apologizing for my religion. No, I'll stand firm. I'll take the prophet as an example. Okay? Now, very briefly, I'd like to mention some of the teachings of the Holy Prophet, which I feel we can benefit by. Not only we benefit by personally and implement in our own lives, but share these timeless teachings with others. Our non-Muslim friends, as some of our speakers have said, they don't know our prophet. How are they going to know our prophet? Through you and I. Through our interactions, through our practice. If we're lying and cheating and stealing, then obviously this one take. If we're practicing these teachings and sharing these teachings, completely something else. So how can we hasten the reappearance? By mentioning some of these things. One of the teachings that I thought would be nice, because there's so many dimensions that we could benefit from the Holy Prophet by. One of them is the idea that the Holy Prophet made parenting and having children, proper parenting, and having children
of value.
I'd like to share some of the teachings of the Holy Prophet when it comes to how we should raise our children. And I feel like these are a hadith that very easily we could share with our non-Muslim friends, with Muslim friends. We benefit personally by knowing how to raise our children according to the Holy Prophet, also by sharing these things with others. How did he make this a value for us? A hadith now that I'll be narrating are all from the Holy Prophet. The first one, Baytun la sibyana fi la barakata fi. That if there is a house with no children in it, this house has no barakah. It's wonderful to have children. We should have children, more children. We love our children as Muslims. What else? He also made it a value to be a parent. In times when others are running away from having children, not wanting to have children, what are we told? That paradise is under the feet of the mothers. Made it a value. What else? We're told spending time with our children is not wasted time, as opposed to others who maybe will sit and watch TV with children, right? I don't want to spend time with them, interact with them, talk with them, right? If I'm not doing that, what does the hadith say? This is again from the Holy Prophet. He says, julusul mar, if a man simply sits with his family, julusul mar inda ayalih, if a man will sit with his family, sit with his dependents, sit with his children, make time for them. What happens? Ahabbu ilallah is more beloved by God, Ta'ala, min i'tikafin fi masjidi hadha. It's more beloved for me as a parent to spend time with my children than it is for me to do i'tikaf in the Prophet's mosque. I'tikaf, that great act of worship. But if I sit with my children, invest in them, more barakah. What else? The Prophet also made it known to us, being a bad parent and not following Islam's teaching. Bad parenting is something which is actually, we pay a heavy price for. Let me share a little bit of a scary story. It's a happy occasion, but you know, a reminder. For me, I need to be scared a little bit, okay? There was one of the wonderful companions of the Holy Prophet, a man named Sa'd. This individual was a great mujahid in the way of God, did so many good things in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loved the Holy Prophet. And when this individual died, something strange happened. What happened? The mu'mineen saw that when the Prophet received information about Sa'd, that he had died, the Prophet, he personally, now they're carrying the janazah of Sa'd. They said the Prophet, without barefoot now, without shoes, without abba, that the Prophet is going to one side of the janazah on the right side. He's carrying it. The Prophet of God coming to the left side, following it. When they go inside the grave, he personally goes in the grave, personally gets the grave ready. The mother of Sa'd is watching this. And she was so impressed. The Prophet following, the Prophet helping out with Sa'd, so impressed. She said, Sa'd, may paradise be wonderful for you. And the Prophet told that mother, he said, slow down a little bit. Don't say that. Sa'd in the grave got a squeeze in the grave. Now the companions were very shocked at this. What are we talking about? Bad parenting, if I don't take it seriously. He said that Sa'd got a squeeze in the grave. The companions afterwards, after Sa'd's mom left, they came over, they were like, now Prophet of Allah, this was very strange. You were following the janazah. Not only that, barefoot, without your cloak, going from one side, going to the other side, all of these things, this great respect for Sa'd. Then he mentioned what happened with Sa'd. Why was Sa'd like that? Now this is a lesson for all of us because we want to embody these teachings. He says, Sa'd, na'am, innahu kana fi khuluqihi ma' ahlihi su'a. In the home, Sa'd, unfortunately, had bad akhlaq in the house. Wasn't a very good parent, not in that way, disrespectful, perhaps cruel to his family. Great mujahid, did many wonderful things, but without that dimension of Islam, no. We have a hadith. Now, I'll get on the brothers a little bit because we're all close to the brothers. I remember once I was in an Islamic gathering, and I was going to have to say something that was a little bit, some people might have taken it the wrong way, they would have gotten upset with me, right? But I had to share it because it's Islam. I have to tell you what your duties are. So I informed the audience before I said what I had to say. I said that just know that I know Taekwondo. If anybody feels they should rush up to the minbar afterward, I know Taekwondo. Right? So I'm going to have to jump on the brothers a little bit, right? Just as reminders, what are we doing? A hadith of the Holy Prophet about how to be a proper parent, right? So, for instance, this is a hadith from the Prophet. It says, إِنَّ مِن شَرِّ رِجَالِكُمْ, amongst the worst of your men, right? He says, البحات الفاحش, right? Person who makes false accusations regarding chastity, swears in the house. Hadith continues, الضارب أهله, physically abusive, right? These are things we can share with others. This is how the Prophet's telling us to be as a father. Should I be very loud and screaming, shouting, these kinds of things? More than that. Now, again, when it comes to, and again, for our sisters also, it's not that our sisters, oh, alhamdulillah, well, if I swear, God forbid, no, none of our sisters, none of them here, would, they also must have proper akhlaq in the house. In addition to that, hadith from the Holy Prophet, respecting the mother, respecting the mother in the household, a hadith from the Holy Prophet, it's part of the rights of the child, whether they be male or female. I have the hadith in front of me. Whether your child is male or female, the right of the child is that the mother is respected in the house. What else do they tell us? Now, the brothers, again, remember, I know Taekwondo, so if I'm sharing these hadith about the Prophet, brace yourselves. Other things they've told us about how to be in the house and how to take care or guide our families. They say that the Prophet of God, the Nabi of Allah, he would actually help out in the housework. Prophet of God, let me read you the hadith, right? It says, وَيَخْتُمُ, describing the Prophet, وَيَخْتُمُ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. When it came out to housework, inside the house, our Prophet would actually help out with housework. That's not beyond the Prophet. The Prophet only jihad fi sabili, no. Only ibad, oh, that's also everything in its proper place. Helping out in the household. They said to the extent the Holy Prophet would be cutting meat inside the house. All of these things are lessons for us. Now we're coming to, well, actually now the whole part about how to be with our children, stuff like that, I'll leave that for another time. But we have a hadith from Ahlul Bayt that we can share, right? Traditions from the Holy Prophet, we can first implement ourselves and then share with others to introduce the Prophet in the proper way. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.